Gracious God, prepare our hearts and our minds now that as the scriptures are read and as your word is proclaimed, our hearts and minds will be open to all that you have to say to us today. We thank you for your holy word, for it is a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our pathway. We ask, O God, that you speak to us now, for your servants are listening. Amen. You may be seated.
Our scripture this morning is taken from one of the newer versions of the Bible, The Message. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, and you may find this scripture in the back of your bulletin. By entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right with Him, make us fit for Him, we have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. And that's not all. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same time, the same moment, that He has already thrown open His door to us. We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. There's more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us, and how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary, we can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good job. I think we'll keep this one. Good job, Fred. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you. Looking forward to seeing Fred in our liturgist role quite a bit. May even want to hear him preach one of these days. Amen. Everyone knows that we have a church bell, right? You all know that they're up there in the top of that bell tower. There's a over 1,000-pound bell up there. What you probably didn't know is that it's not been rung in over a year. I see Tom Burns back there shaking his head saying, yep, that's right. It's not that we don't want to ring this bell, but it's because we've been told by the trustees that our 100-year-old bell and our 100-year-old church steeple isn't quite in shape to ring like we would like to do it. In other words, there's some deterioration that we did not find until very late in the process that we thought we probably better not ring that old bell until we get the structure of the bell, the support system fixed up there way up high. Nothing major, but the trustees just don't want that bell coming down through the through the ceiling of the or through the bell tower. So it's on the list of things to do. And so Tom, you know, Tom loves ringing that bell. In due time, we'll get it fixed for you. But church bells all over the country are silent these days for a lot of different reasons. It's not because churches are necessarily being closed, but because many churches are simply choosing not to ring them. Churches like Epworth down the road here, our sister church, Epworth in Rehoboth, don't even have a bell in that beautiful steeple, in that beautiful new contemporary building of theirs because, well, a lot of churches are being built now because it doesn't fit their contemporary image that they want to project in the community. I did find out, however, that Epworth has their old church bell inside, and they ring it for Sunday services from inside the building. So I thought that was kind of cool. Some churches, unfortunately, have gotten complaints from the town folks saying it's too noisy or it's too distracting or they can't sleep during the day if they're shift workers, and, especially those that that ring on the hour, like my church in Selbyville. My home church in Selbyville has a chime on the hour, as well as Centenary in Laurel that I served, and everybody really enjoyed that. And that's not to say that there aren't bells being rung in different parts of the country and different communities. It's just that many people are choosing not to fix their broken bells if they're broken, and spending that money instead on programs, missions, or youth ministry. But here's my point. There was a time when church bells were one of the ways that the church spoke to the community. Spoke in quotation marks, that is. Ringing the church bell on Sunday morning was a call to worship. When you heard that church bell ring, it meant, okay, church is getting ready to start. Y'all need to get here. It was God speaking to the community saying, it's time for me. It's time to worship. You better get here quick. Today, I'd like to ring another kind of bell. I'm using that bell ringing metaphor for my message today. A theological bell that's not rung often enough in our churches. You know, from time to time, us preachers have to ring different kinds of bells on Sunday morning in our sermons. Like in the fall, when we have to ring that stewardship bell, or when we have to ring the bell of forgiveness, the bell of reconciliation, the bell of missions, or the bell of justice. Today, I'm ringing the bell, the theological bell, of justification. Justification. In the first four chapters of the book of Romans, Paul explains that right standing with God begins with God, and through the mercy and the grace of God alone, not by obeying the law, talking about the law of Moses. The church was really struggling with obedience to the law and obedience to God, faith and works and all that stuff. He says in chapter 1, not part of our reading today, the one who is righteous will live by faith. This, my friends, is a very, very important theological statement that we need to understand as God's people. Paul's saying that, yes, we're sinners, but we can't do a thing in and of ourselves to make ourselves right and get in right standing with God. We cannot earn God's love. Paul says that we do this not by good works, not by good deeds, not by living exemplary lives, but by faith alone. Faith alone in Jesus Christ. And this movement from state of sin to state of grace is called justification. Justification. Now, I know that's one of those fancy words that you probably only hear in the church, but I dare say you probably hear it more than you think, especially if you work with word processing. If you work with a typewriter, anybody still uses a typewriter anymore, I don't know, but in word processing, you have justification of your document, whereas the sides of the document are either justified left, justified right, or center justification to make it look nice in printed format. But the word justification also comes from, or actually originally came from, Roman judicial law. You might know something about this, Ned, our resident attorney. You see, in Roman judicial system, the judge, even though he knew the defendant was guilty as all get out, had the power to declare the person not guilty. Justification. In today's reading, Paul rings this bell loudly, saying in Eugene Peterson's translation, by entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right with Him, we have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. This, my friends, is a bell that many people need to hear loudly every now and then. Why? Because we need to be reminded that to, quote unquote, have it all together with God, as Peterson puts it, is a gift from God and not something we can earn or achieve. Do you ever think about the way you're living your lives? Do you ever think about your life? Do you ever think about your relationship with God? I'm sure that you, like myself, have felt guilty from now and then about certain things that we've done. I'm sure we've all been involved in things that we're not proud of. We say to ourselves, gee, that wasn't very Christ-like of me. That wasn't very exemplary of a Christian life in that this or that situation. Or maybe we've confessed aloud or to ourselves, Lord, I have sinned. Have mercy upon me. These feelings of moral failure and of guilt can make us feel bad about ourselves and very uncertain about our standing with God, our relationship with God. I know some folks who won't come to communion on Communion Sunday because of their guilt, because they feel unworthy to be in the holiness and the holy presence of God, especially on that holy day.